I'd like to call the Carson City Board of Equalization meeting to order. It's Tuesday, February 16 at 9:02 a.m. Item A, call to order and determination of quorum.
Chairperson Block?
Here.
Member Rasner?
Present.
Member Simmons?
Here.
Member Vivant?
Here.
Member Wilson?
Here.
A quorum's present.
Great, thank you. Great audio this morning. On to item B, public comment. The public is invited at this time to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Carson City Board of Equalization. Is there any public that would like to make a comment? Seeing none, on to item C for possible action, approval of minutes, January 26, 2016. Changes, comments, corrections. Does anybody have a motion?
Yes, I make a motion that we approve the minutes of January 26th.
I second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. On to item D, informational item, discussion regarding updated open meeting law manual.
Good morning. I just wanted to mention that there is a new edition of the Attorney General's Open Meeting Law Manual, and they have it on their website if anybody wants to look at that. I did review it prior to the meeting to make sure that there wasn't anything specific to your board or similar boards, and the only things that are different are the items that we went over two meetings ago, which is based on the law that was passed this last summer. So other than that, everything is pretty much the same, but it's worth a good read if you want to go online and just print it out or just read it online. It's pretty interesting.
That sounds great. Thank you very much. Now on to item E for possible action, petition for review of assessed valuation of Burgoyne's.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Real quick, we need to get sworn in if we're going to be testifying, so can we do that before we go to item E?
Okay, do you all swear and affirm that the testimony that you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Yes.
Okay.
If it was only that easy. For possible action, petition for review of assessed valuation of Burgoyne's Family Trust, 2860 Highway 50 East, APN 008-161-08. Assessor.
Good morning, Chairman, Board members. Donald Massell, Carson City Assessor's Office. Item E is the Bourgeois Family Trust, parcel number 008-161-08, address 2860 Highway 50 East, Carson City. So there were two issues on this parcel. I guess initially I should say we have a value stipulation agreement on this parcel, and I'll state that in a minute, but so we had two issues on this parcel, and a long time ago it was assessed improperly as a manufactured home, which is personal property, and the garage was assessed as a residential garage instead of a detached service garage bay. So what we did is, upon inspection, we found that these two items were should have been considered real property. So what we did is we reassessed the properties
Thank you, sir.
I know what we did.
Thank you. Real quick, what we did is we tried to equalize everything. The service garages, instead of it being run as a detached garage, we actually looked to see what other very similar types of properties or detached or service garages were there. We originally ran it as a 1.5, which is a fair quality building, but when we met with Mr. Bourgeois last Thursday, we agreed that we would lower it to a low quality, which lowered his value, so that's what the stipulated agreement is based on. In addition, the structure itself, the main structure, it is a modular home. Modular homes should have been converted to real property because they're physically removed from the wheels and the axles. The whole bottom structure is removed and it's placed on a permanent foundation. So it should have been taxed as real property. What made us notice this was the fact that, and it's kind of weird, but there was a law change, regulation change, for telecommunications buildings, in which telecommunication buildings are concrete buildings, and they're actually on concrete pads. But we were told before that they were run as personal property. They needed to be personal properties. Well, the Department of Taxation just recently changed the regulation in which those buildings are to be taxed as real property. And those buildings are very similar to this type of building. And so when those became real property, there were two buildings that we actually converted to real property. One is the Dutch Brothers building over there in the Carson Mall parking lot. That was run as personal property. We did convert that to real property this year, as well as this particular building we also converted to real property. So if you look at the actual stipulated agreement, the current values that we have on it, we have a land value, taxable value of $247,954, then an improvement value of $212,366 for a total of $460,320. What we are proposing and what has been accepted by the owner is to actually reduce the value to $430,463. Now, the other huge issue with this property is the fact that because it was taxed as personal property before, it was fully depreciated at 80% depreciation. When it's converted to real property, it goes from 5% depreciation each year to 1.5% depreciation each year. This would have been a huge increase. It already is a huge increase for this particular property owner. What we did this year to kind of soften the blow a little bit is we actually gave it 30% economic obsolescence. So his taxes are going to be going up about $1,600 a year. And that does include the 30% economic obsolescence. We will be working with them on a yearly basis. We've told them, you know, we're gonna have to remove the economic obsolescence. We just did it this one year because we didn't want the increases to be so massive. And so we're going to be looking at this particular property every single year and removing the economic obsolescence as we go. So if you have any questions, we are here.
So you can start over if you want. Did you get that, Mark? Did you get that, or should he?
Did you get that?
Repose his questions with his mic, Vino.
That was just. I wanted to put that on record that it was 2002 that the actual changes did take effect in January, and it is in your records that were written.
That's correct, sir. And just kind of a little background information. This was done prior to me becoming assessor. And so I actually did it. I'm taking full responsibility, but that's what I was told to do at the time.
Okay. So to the property owner, there actually is an inherent increase in value because you've taken it from personal to real property, from personal property to real property. So even though his taxes are going up, the valuation of the whole parcel is going to increase accordingly.
That's correct.
Okay. Any other questions for the assessor? I don't believe that the appellant is here, so I'd like to pose the question. Can I get a motion?
I move to accept the assessor's office stipulated value of $430,463.
We have a motion. We have a second on the motion.
Second then.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Now we're going to skip ahead a little bit and go from item E to item K for possible action, approval of stipulation agreement for T&D Machine Product, Inc. at 2850 Conestoga Drive, APN 008.
2023-816-39.
Welcome, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Denise Gillott with Carson City Assessor's Office, and I'm here to speak to you about APN 008-816-39 located at 2850 Conestoga Drive. It's a vacant 1.66 acre parcel with a current taxable value of $269,426 and an assessed value of $94,299. And what happened with this, this was actually a parcel that we saw last year through the board and we stipulated, and it at that time it also not it affected the same parcels, not just Mr. Torres's parcel. And so what we've come to terms with is that we have a large industrial area over off of Goni and North Carson and Northeast Carson, and it actually covers two books of parcels. So it covers book 8 and book 5. And so we spent last year really working on trying to equalize these values to make sure that they were consistent across the two books because the market area is in fact the same. And so we came to the conclusion that some of these parcels needed to be lowered. What had happened was we went through the stipulation process, everything was fine, and when we did land values for this year, we determined that there was not an increase, therefore everything should stay the same. But it was my error that I had not, after the stipulation, gone back in to correct those parcels in our land value books. And so multiple changes have been made in my process. It will not happen again this year, and everything should, be by the end of the BOE hearing, hopefully, if you agree, everything will be taken down to the correct values, and then we will determine them along with all of the land values for the next upcoming land value year. Our stipulated value is to be $195,237 taxable with an assessed value of $68,333.
Mr. Chairman, if I
yes.
might also, we are also asking that the board reduce the values on the surrounding parcels, not just this particular parcel, because we want to be equalized. We want to equalize the whole area, and so that's why we did include all of those other parcels. We did notify all of the other parcel owners by letter, actually two letters. We sent one out, had a wrong date on it, so we did send out a second one that had the corrected date, time, and location. But we are requesting that all of the parcels be fixed, so we can equalize that whole entire area.
Thank you for that. Questions?
I must make a declaration that I do know Mr. Torres is a friend of mine, but it will make no difference in my decision on this multiple parcel changeover that we're doing. If the DA requires me to abstain, I will do so.
You only need to abstain if there's a if it's a substantial relationship, or if you have a substantial business relationship, or if you're related to the appellant, or if your relationship, your friendship, is like a business relationship or like a familial blood affinity relationship. And if so, then you have a clear disqualifying conflict. Otherwise, your duty is to vote.
Should we make a motion on this as two separate items, one for TD machine and then for the other, or should it be all lumped into one motion?
Let me just review that how that item is agendized, just to make sure.
It's just the item itself.
It's just the item itself. Right. I think you should lump it all together.
So being lumped together, do we need to take item J along with K? Isn't J his personal property? Or
No.
Okay.
No.
No, it's just K.
That's separate.
It's
okay.
It's K, right?
It's just K.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So am I confused? Just you
he
will
just
do it.
Me, but I'll catch up.
So it's so on item K, it's just one motion.
Okay. That's what my assumption was, but we've got to be careful with those assumptions. So anyway, any testimony? Mr. Torres is not here. Okay, seeing none, I'd like to entertain a motion.
Okay. I move to accept the proposed land values as spelled out by the assessor's office on page 10 for the following parcels: 008-814-01 through 04, 008-815-01 through 06, 008-816-36 through 38, 008-816-44 through 50, 008-816-52 through 54, 008-816-56 through 64, 008-816-66 through 70, 008-816-73 through 76, 008-816 through 78 through 91.
I second it.
Okay, we have a motion second, and you have some discussion on the motion.
Yeah, I have a question. When you look at that, it says 00 on the third one down, 008-816-39 through 38, then it picks up with 44. That doesn't take in the 39 for TJ machine products.
Right.
So that one I think we should handle as a separate item. And that's what
it's not agendized.
Huh? I know, but that's why I'm asking.
Okay, can we start over here? So on item K, that item is basically just an approval of the stipulation,
right.
The stipulated agreement for T&D machine. That memo is just informational, so it doesn't require your approval. It's just an informational of a fix. So K is the, you're just doing a motion for the approval of the stipulated agreement. So you don't have to take a motion on the other properties. If you want to take a motion on the other properties, then you can have it come back at the next meeting and it'll be agendized as your approval. But from what I understand, your approval is not required for them to make that fix. Or
well,
is it?
It's not required, but we would like it.
Okay. So if you want that to be approved by you, then it can just go back on a following agenda, and it'll be agendized that way for your approval of all these properties. Because right now, the only thing you're approving is the stipulated agreement for T&D machine, item K. And then J is just specific to an individual, that APN number.
So was the only appellant to this property T&D machine right. products? So that's why we're hearing this. But because of the findings of this appellant, we have equalized these other following parcels. So there are no other appellants appealing this that have these parcels. All they're going to do is reap the rewards from one appellant, correct?
Mr. Chairman, what happened is we actually had two appeals in this particular area, and one of the appeals did withdraw because he knew that we were going to be fixing this entire area. And so, yes.
When we go to fix an entire area based on equalization, it's almost a redundant issue if we're hearing every individual parcel number as an agenda item. So this way, we're the appellant has stipulated to the agreement with the assessor's office, and all the rest of these parcels fall into that based on equalization.
I agree with that, but
so then
it's a motion.
So, and we have a motion pending. I think we had a first and a second. So the first needs to remove their motion, the second needs to remove their motion, and then we can start new.
Can we amend?
Yeah, you can do that. That would be just as fine as removing the first and the second.
Okay. I would like to amend my motion to include parcel number 008-816-39. And the taxable value that the assessor's office has proposed based on page 10.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. The amended motion was to include.
Was to include all of those properties?
Yeah. I made an amendment on my original motion to include just that one property that wasn't actually included in the list that I read previously.
Okay, but the only thing that you're approving is just the stipulated agreement for...
Correct.
T&D
Correct.
Machine. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any more discussion on the motion? Seeing none,
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you. Now on to back up to item F for possible action petition for review of assessed valuation of MGP 9 Properties LLC, Rayless Family Stores, leasee 3675 South Carson Street, APN 009-123-03. Back to the assessor.
Good morning, board members, Mr. Chair. Jeremy Sapoznik with the Carson City Assessor's Office. This is item F, Rayleigh's Grocery Store, APN 009-12303. The subject of the appeal is 59,028 square feet of grocery store area located in a large retail shopping center. After review of the appeal packet, it appeared that the appellant wasn't aware of whether or not he was appealing this portion, the 59,000 square feet of the grocery store, or the 92,648 square feet of total building area in the whole shopping center. So we request clarification on that from the appellant, and he never replied. So we just assumed that the appeal was based on the 59,028 square feet of Rayleigh's grocery store area, and that's how we moved forward with this appeal. And again, there was never any contact from the appellant on it. So from this point, we assume that he should withdraw, and since he didn't withdraw, what would the term be? We want to, it's done, is all I have to say. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Chatham did file the appeal for Rayleigh's, and the original appeal itself, the authorized signature was a signature for Rayleigh's themselves, but Rayleigh's does not own the whole shopping center. Rayleigh's is actually just leasing a portion of the shopping center. And so there's a couple issues with this particular one. The signature, the digital signature that we received from the lessee of the property, we can't accept digital signatures per the Nevada Department of Taxation. So we did notify him. We notified him via email. We also notified him via certified mail. We tried every means of trying to get in touch with him to have him provide us information, and there was never any information that was provided. So, I mean, we can proceed with this, and we can go through all of the indications of value in which we determined. We did determine that we are under market value just by taking the Rayleigh's portion out. And we can go into that detail if you'd like. If not, I mean, it's totally up to you.
I think if the petitioner is the lessee, then it's kind of moot. So.
Well, and my question is whether or not this is in proper form, since he submitted a digital signature, and we're not supposed to accept digital signatures.
Correct.
So, you know, you could revert it back to staff for them to submit the appeal in proper form. So to me, it doesn't. You did.
We did that. We met all of the time requirements, and unfortunately, Mr. Chatham just never responded to us. So. I mean, it's not really a valid appeal anymore just because he did not. He has 5 days in which, once he gets notified from us, we actually went further than that because, again, we emailed him first and requested the information. He did email us back and said he was going to get back to us on a Thursday. I think that was almost a week and a half ago, and we still never heard from him. So we did actually get a response from him, but we didn't get any kind of information as far as any income information. We didn't get any other kind of signatures from him. And so, I mean, I guess it's up to you whether or not you want to actually accept the petition or not.
Because it wasn't a valid appeal, then you were really under no obligation to present this to us, correct?
Correct.
So if we choose to remand it back to you or just make a motion on keeping the assessed value as is, we could do pretty much anything we wanted to, correct, at this point. But technically speaking, if we remanded it back to you, then he could come back under next year's time frame and repetition.
He could also appeal it if you make a determination. You could also appeal it, and the question comes back as to whether or not this is a proper appeal. So you may just want to dismiss it based on not being in proper form because it's not a valid signature, as well as not being the owner appellant. So you can do that. And then in that case, it's dismissed. He would have to, he missed the deadline.
Excuse me, and I apologize again, but based on AB 452 that was passed last year, they don't actually have to be the owner of the property. They just have to have or show possession of the property. And so he did show that they had possession of that particular property, but again, it was a digital signature, and we can't accept a digital signature. We notified him of it. Again, the question was he the values that were on his appeal form were for the entire shopping center. It wasn't just for Raley's. And so was he appealing the entire shopping center? If so, he didn't have the necessary signature because he didn't have the shopping center owner's signature. Is he appealing just the Raley's portion? And if he is appealing the Raley's portion, what's the value that you're trying to determine? Because, again, you didn't provide us. You provided us with the value for the whole shopping center. So there was just a lot of questions, and we attempted on many occasions to get the information from the representative and just did not receive anything.
If it's an illegal signature, then the whole thing becomes null and void, doesn't it?
Can I address this?
He appealed. He didn't have everything in fileable form for the appeal. He didn't have everything stated by NRS that he needed to have. So what we're here doing is we can make a motion to dismiss it. We can make a motion to keep the values the same. But what Mr. Dolly has done here, he has given the appellant the opportunity to correct. And we're doing it in a public format, so there can be no accusations that he did not give this gentleman his fair day in court, so to speak. So going to send it back to the board to try to get more information from the gentleman, which he hasn't approved, he can always appeal to the state board, and he can also appeal next year. So with that said, is that fair enough? I'd like to entertain a motion.
I'd like to make a motion. On 0091-2303, commonly known as 3675 South Carson Street, to dismiss the application since it was not in proper form.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion on the motion? So the motion is to dismiss. I would like to make a comment. I really appreciate the assessor coming forward with this, even though he didn't have to. That's really showing he does his job well, so I appreciate that. So that being said, are there any other comments?
Dave, can we send a letter to him indicating that he can appeal to the state?
Because it's a dismissal, he might be able to ask for a reconsideration. And if he submits all the paperwork that he needs, then he might be able to put it back on the schedule between now and
next Tuesday is our last meeting. So we wouldn't have time to agendize it.
But the state.
But they could.
But
he could appeal it.
He could
to
appeal
the state.
It. You're dismissing.
But if they don't have the proper signatures, then the state board's going to dismiss it as well. So.
Great. Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Now on to item G for possible action, approval of stipulation agreement for JCPenney Properties, Inc. at 3939 South Carson Street, APN 009-125-14.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm going to take this since my chief appraiser is busy. Last year, we received an appeal form from JCPenney's, and we asked them to provide their income information, and they did. And we actually gave them additional obsolescence. This year, in October, we sent out a letter to all property owners who had previously received economic obsolescence, and we asked for their financial information to determine whether or not we should continue with their economic obsolescence or not. JCPenney's did not respond. We knew that they were going to, you know, at some point, but they never did. And so they ended up actually filing an appeal form, and then they finally sent us their income information. And so the value, and Denise can go into the actual figures for you a little bit, but currently the value is on at $4,765,657. We are proposing to reduce that down to $3,655,000. That's a taxable value, and that was approved by the representative for JCPenney's. And it's based on their income information.
Do we have any questions for the assessor's office? I see that the appellant's not here. I'd like to entertain a motion.
I'll make it. I move to accept the Carson City Assessor's Agreement with JCPenney Properties, Inc., which stipulates to a total taxable value of $3,655,000 on APN 009-125-14 for the 216-17 secured tax roll, property located at 3939 South Carson Street, Carson City, Nevada.
I second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion on the motion? Any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Let's move on to item H for possible action, approval of stipulation agreement for Harley-Davidson Credit Corp., 36350 Arrowhead Drive, APN 005-051-21. Assessor's Office.
Denise Schlott with Carson City Assessor's Office. Yes, we are talking about 3850 Arrowhead Drive. It is a 96,057 square foot of office space built in 2005, located on 10 acres. The current taxable value is $16,107,763, with a current assessed of $5,637,717. I worked quite a bit with their tax representative, and we went, I've included quite a bit of our emailing back and forth on how all of our approaches to value, and my income approach netted a value of $13,303,563. His actually was a little bit lower at $13,021,021. And so what had happened with it, and he also provided some sales, which I go into some discussion about as far as his market approach versus my market approach. The sales that he provided, unfortunately, were not arm-length transactions, which I go into a little bit further in detail in the packet. But at the end of the day, what we talked about is the income approach is definitely given most weight due to the fact that we just have a severe lack of commercial properties that size that have sold in the entire northern Nevada region. So what we did is we decided to give the income approach most weight, which came to a conclusion of 20% economic obsolescence for this year, which would then give them a taxable value of $13,082,230 with an assessed value of $4,578,781.
Okay, great. Let's see here. I'm just going to make a comment. On the agenda, it listed a street address of 3650, and it is actually 3850 as it is in our book. So when you make the motion, be clear that it's 3860. Okay, so what, with the assessor's office, do you have any questions for the assessor's office?
I have a question. The 20% economic obsolescence, is that temporary, or would that continue forward for next year?
It would not. It's temporary for this year, and then this property will then, in fact, be added to our list of properties that we reach out to receive their income data year to year until we determine it's no longer necessary.
Okay, cool.
Any other questions or comments? I'd like to entertain a motion.
I move to accept the Carson City Assessor's Agreement with Harley-Davidson Credit Corporation, which stipulates to a total taxable value of $13,082,230 on APN 005-051-21 for the 216-17 secured tax roll. Property is located at 3850 Arrowhead Drive, Carson City, Nevada.
A second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. Motion carries. Now on to item I, for possible action, approval of stipulation agreement for DK Smith Holdings, LLC at 4749 Highway 50 East, APN 008-317-02.
Jeremy Sapoznik, the assessor's office. To the details?
Yeah.
The appellant for this property brought to our attention some items of physical deterioration on the property. And after he showed us some estimates and provided us some data to support his complaints, we determined that a temporary application of economic obsolescence would be sufficient to reduce his taxes to the point where he'd be satisfied with his current taxable value. So what we did is we did apply that economic obsolescence and solved this problem for him. Any questions?
If I could just go into a little bit, he's learning. He's doing really well, but he's learning. So the appellant actually purchased this property back in November 2015 for $540,000. And when he originally called, we talked about it. And I asked him, a number of questions to determine whether or not it was a true arm's length transaction. At that time, he did tell me that there was a lot of deferred maintenance on it. He had a hard time getting a loan for it because of the problems with it. And so we cannot use the purchase price as a value for him, because it actually took place after July 1st, 2015. We can use it to kind of support the trends that are going on in the market, but we can't actually use this particular value for lowering the value itself. But he did provide us with a number of estimates in which it's going to take to get the property up to where it's actually should be at full market value again. We will be looking again at this property on a yearly basis to determine exactly what progress has been made. And so we will be removing the economic obsolescence as he makes the improvements on the property.
Okay, great. Any other further questions? Appellant's not here, so I'd like to entertain a motion.
I move to accept the assessor's stipulated value for APN number 008-371-02 for a total taxable value of $535,014.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. You transposed the APN number of 371 from 317, So if you could amend
I would that. Like to amend my motion to clarify that the APN number is in fact 008-317-02. Why am I? Oh, it's because I'm reading it. Okay, it's 371-02. I was reading it on the label in the front. Anyways.
Oh, you were reading the agenda again?
Yeah.
So,
after we already.
So it is, the motion is the correct APN number, yes?
Still second.
Okay, we have clarification that Mallory's original motion is correct.
No, hold on.
371 is the next one.
371-02. Well, I apologize for this.
It's okay. Your website is going a little slower for me to.
It's 837102, so I apologize for that.
37102?
Yeah, we will.
So that is correct.
We've been having these fly back and forth, so I apologize for the proof reading errors.
So I would like to clarify that the motion refers to parcel number 008-371-02.
Awesome. All right, is there any further discussion on the motion?
Was there a second?
There was a motion and Roy seconded it, I believe.
Yes, I seconded
it. Okay, we have a motion and a second, yes.
Read into the memo.
This is
into the minutes.
Okay, no further discussion. You have a question, Mallory? Okay. All right, so all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none. Motion carries. On to item J, for possible action, approval of stipulation agreement for Lawrence Torres, 2655 Norwood Place, APN 007-371-50.
Denise Gillette with Carson City Assessor's Office. APN 007-371-05 is 4,249 square foot single family residence built in 2013. On 1 acre of land. It has a current taxable value of $1,035,457 with a current assessed of $362,410. We worked with Mr. Torres last year also on this property, and what we've determined, we determined that in fact that some areas of Carson City have not quite come out of our little bit of economic slump. And so this was one of the areas that we focused on. And economic obsolescence was actually placed on a lot of those parcels over on the west side. Mr. Torres is kind of a unique property in the sense that he's newer than a lot of those other properties. So in fact, he does need additional economic obsolescence due to the fact that the cost of construction is still quite a bit higher than what the market is willing to pay. So over time, we will just continue to monitor his property and also other properties built probably in the 2010 and above range to verify, in fact, that their current taxable value does not exceed current market value.
Great. Do we have some questions for the assessor's office?
I have a question. When you say you're evaluating and watching properties, on what basis do you do that? Do you do that for all those properties in that area that were built within that, or does the taxpayer have to come forward and say, you know, shouldn't I be included in this?
Absolutely not. We try to watch over that entire market area. We do the same with other areas where new construction is taking place. We're constantly obtaining new sales, kind of comparing them with what's going on in those areas, and we are evaluating each and every single one of them on a yearly basis.
So that would be any properties built in this whole entire, the whole city?
Absolutely.
Not just the east side, the west side, the north side, or this subdivision. It's all properties built within that period.
Absolutely. We are constantly watching that.
And just as an example of that, the newer homes over there in Silver Oak, you know, we sent out the assessment notices, and then we finally got all of our sales information in. And so we had to adjust it. We had to provide economic obsolescence for all of the newer ones, because when you, they have no depreciation. They're brand new, so they're on it 100%. And so when you add the total land value plus the improvement value, it just put it over market value. So we had to go back and give that entire area economic obsolescence. And it really only truly affects the newer houses, the newer structures. Those are what we're primarily seeing a lot of, and the higher end. In like this particular area, we're seeing the sales, you know, not quite up there to what the actual replacement cost or taxable value would be. So we're having to watch it really closely. And if I could also just, and it's not just with this one, the office itself, we've changed the process in which we've done this. There's actually two ways in which you can build the economic obsolescence into the property. You can either do that on the marshland switch side where it automatically goes in there, and then what happens is it just carries over from year to year to year to year. That's the way we used to do it. We don't like it because it doesn't let us actually visit those properties on a yearly basis. It doesn't remind us to look at them. And so we removed all of those now, and we have a list of all of those properties that are receiving economic obsolescence. And so in order to get the obsolescence, we have to put it on each individual property each year. And so we're going to be looking at every single property that's receiving it on a yearly basis now.
Awesome. Sounds like a good plan. Any other comments, questions? I'd like to entertain a motion.
I'll do it. I move to accept the Carson City Assessor's agreement with Lawrence S. Torres, which stipulates to a total taxable value of $870,000 on APN 007-371-50 for the 216-17 secured tax roll. Property is located at 2655 Norwood Place, Carson City, Nevada.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Now on to item L for possible action, discussion as to the date of the next scheduled meeting currently set for February 23rd, 2016.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is it. We have no other appeals. We are done for the year, so we don't need to schedule any further meetings.
How cool is that? All right, I'd like to, you have a question?
I just would like to thank the assessor's office. You put a lot of work into this, and I appreciate what we get to review because it does help us do our job. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'd like to entertain a motion. Seeing no public, is there any public comment?
Yes, I do have public comment. Thank you.
Okay, well, we're still on item L. Okay. We haven't made a motion in a second. Have we? Do we need to? Okay, being that there's no other meetings, we'll just go on to item M, public comment. The public is invited at this time to comment on any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item. No action may be taken on a matter raised under this item of the agenda. So for item M, Mr. Dolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to thank you as the board. I know the meetings that go pretty quick, but it's very time-consuming because we do provide you with a lot of information and the taxpayers provide you with a lot of information that you actually have to review before the meetings, and I thank you. I honestly thank you for doing such an awesome job and helping us to keep the equalization in Carson City. I know this is an election year. I'm hoping that you will all be back next year, but you may not be back next year. And so I honestly want to thank you from all of us. You know, we appreciate the calls with the questions, and we appreciate you taking so much time and being so diligent for the taxpayers. You guys are really great, and I really thank you very much.
Well, we appreciate the time and patience that the assessor's office goes to give us the information to be able to work with. And it is very useful and helpful when we're going through our books to make a determination on what has been provided for us.
You know, I too would like to give you some accolades, because when you're changing the process to figure out economic obsolescence was reviewed on a yearly basis. I think that's amazing. I know that's a lot more work for you guys, but everything's being looked at. And even when appellants don't have all the information or they did a digital signature when they weren't supposed to, giving them a more than a fair chance to come in front of this board is really telling of the great job that you're doing in your office. And like everybody else here feels, you guys do put a ton of work into this stuff. And what you have to put up with some years is probably very much more than we can even realize. And other years, it looks like this year was maybe a little bit smoother, but still, nonetheless, a lot of work. So it's a privilege to sit on this board and to work with such great professionals that we have in Carson City.
And we thank you for that. One of the other things I wanted to mention real quick is it's been brought to my attention that you guys don't like the notebooks, so we won't bring them back. We'll just be sending out the binders. If you would like them on a disc, we can do that, but we won't be bringing the computers back. If there's any other process that you think that we could do in order to streamline this, please, I mean, let us know. We'll be happy to look into it, because we really want to streamline these things and make it a lot easier for not only us, you, but also for the taxpayer. So thank you.
Okay, great. Any other public comment? Seeing none, item N for possible action on adjournment. Do I have a motion?
I make a motion that we adjourn for the year.
Do we have a motion? We have a motion and a second. Any public comment? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Thanks for another great year.
Do you see anything on the books that you want differently or that you think should be done differently?
You do them double-sided. That was going to be my next question.
And how about the aerial maps this time for locational purposes, where all the comps and everything?